2 Corinthians chapter 5, one of my most favorite, most exciting teachings in the whole Bible. You say, not really. No, really, I don't. I know sometimes I could talk in hyperbole, and then, which is not so good. I try not to, because then when I really mean like best, biggest, most wonderful, I kind of, you know, people say, oh, you always say that. If you think about it, I don't always say, but this is like incredible. This is like, for me, like, these are my life verses. This is a passage where much of who I am is determined by what these verses say. And the direction I set my compass is because of this passage here, to a large degree. Let's look at it, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, we did the first 11 verses, okay? I'm going to back up, and it's talking about our tent, this body, a temporary dwelling. Everyone acts like this is all there is, and this is permanent, and this is going to last forever. And our focus is like really, really, I think, in the Church of Jesus Christ, and I, from what I observe, much of our focus is in the horizontal, like this is all there is. 100 years from now, you'll have trouble. I don't know, when you step off into eternity, if you even remember this. But we live like, this is it, this is the big deal. It's so not. 100 years from now, the only thing that's going to matter is Jesus Christ and your relationship to him. The only thing. And I don't know, as a pastor, if I've been successful in communicating that. If I'm measuring by results, I would say, by and large, I haven't been successful. Oh, there are some things. I see redemption, I see people growing, and I'm very, very excited about that. You know, yay, praise God. But I wonder, like a lot of us, I think this is, like I say, we think about this is the be-all and end-all. And I'm just trying here to tell you, it's so not. Starting in verse 11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And we kind of ended there last week, kind of almost in half a verse. You say, what do you mean the terror of the Lord? See, I don't think I've communicated that to you. Now, we were talking about in communion this morning. God sent his son to earth to die a horrible, ignominious, violent death to secure our eternity. Now, some of us here haven't bought in. We haven't said, thank you, Lord, for dying for us. I believe, I trust that your sacrifice is a payment for my sin. So we'll all stand before God, and we talked about that at length. And some of us are going to stand there saying, well, I don't care about Jesus. I don't really care that he died for me. It's, who cares? And you're thinking, when I get in front of God, I'll figure something out. That is the worst plan I've ever heard in my life. That's horrible. Did you think that all the way through? You sent your son. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. I don't care. I don't care about him. I don't care about his death. I don't care about your love. Knowing the terror of the Lord, is there a hell so hot that he can't throw you in? I mean, think about what you're saying. Your son, he meant nothing to me. Now you might want to in our study today, you might want to open yourself to the Holy Spirit and say, God, if you got something here, I'm here. If you got something to say to me, go ahead and say it. You might want to re-examine a few ideas, okay? No, God, it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Say, for everyone? Not for me. He's dead. We looked at the judgment that's waiting us as Christians. It's different from those who are waiting, who are going to stand before God who aren't Christians. It's a whole different judgment. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. It's obvious to God who we are. It should be obvious to you as well, is what Paul's saying. And he's writing to the Corinthians. What obvious? What? Well, God knows. You know, you say, well, you're a child of God. Who says that? Well, God does. And I mean, it's obvious to him. He knows his children. It kind of, if you're living and loving the Lord, it kind of should be obvious to you as well, Paul says to the Corinthians. And I guess I would say that as well. What do you mean? This. We commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance, but not in heart. Now that's King James, and that's a little bit confusing. Can I just put it in plain English? You know, we ain't going to do this commending ourselves again thing. We already did that. You know, what do we need? Letters of commendation? You know, who are you? Where's your PhD? What's your, we don't need that. I'm the real deal, Paul says. Look at you, your salvation. God sent me. You think it happened outside of God? Paul had letters. You remember? He was going to Damascus. He got letters from the high priest. He got his letters of commendation. He's going to go throw all Christians in jail and imprison them along the way. And God, when Jesus Christ, God, knocked him off his high horse, quite literally, as it was approaching noon, he knocked him down. He couldn't see anything. He heard a voice, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And one thing Jesus said, "Can I see your letters? Let me check them letters out. Who are they from anyway?" Now, God doesn't care about letters of commendation. So Paul's saying, "Hey, do we have to do that letters of commendation again? Didn't we all explain that to you already? Didn't you already figure that out? We're the real deal because you're saved. There was no church in Corinth, and now there's a church. You're welcome. No, we're really sent by God, or that never would have happened. You do understand that. So we're not going to go there again. We're not going to do that letters of commendation. We're not going to commend ourselves again. But here's what we do want." This is why it should be evident to, it's evident to God, it should also be evident to you. What? What should be evident? Hey, we want to give you something to glory. We want to give you something to brag about. We want to give you something to be proud of, you Corinthians, Paul's saying. Proud? What? Brag? These aren't really Christian words, are they? Yeah, if you use them correctly. If you're proud, I have pride. It's not a good thing. Not to me. It's exactly opposed to what God's trying to do in my life. He wants to be humble, and I'm proud way too often. I think I'll be done with it. About the time the undertaker pats me in the face with the back of the shovel, I think I'll be over my pride. Until that time, game on. We're gonna fight this arrogance, this pride. And you're saying, so what's he talking about proud? Listen, in this, do you show up for work every day and you do a good day's work, you can be proud of that. That's not arrogant. That's the way it really is, right? It's not bragging if it's true in that sense, right? Can you be proud of a lot of things? I'm proud to be serving the Lord. Probably humbly grateful is a better way to say it. But here he's saying this. He says, you know what? I want you to be Give something to them. I want you to be able to give an answer to them. I want you to be proud in this, in us, and I want you to be able to give an answer to them. What them? Look, them which glory in appearance and not in heart. Now you say it's King James English. Yeah, but it's kind of obvious. They just care about the appearance. They don't care about the inward. We have a word for them. It's a horrible, nasty H word. Hypocrite. I just care what I look like. I don't care what I really am. And they show up and they say, oh, you know, and they talk about God and they give the God speak. Jesus said, and by the way, Jesus coined this phrase, hypocrites. It means actors. You're like on a stage. You're like acting a puppet. You're not really that person. You go out in the street and long prayers to God and everyone goes by and say, oh my, look at how holy they are. And that's the only reason you're doing it. You want to be seen by men so they think you're holy. You're not even speaking to God. God's not listening to that stuff. And he a lot of times he upbraids them for the hypocrisy more than anything else. Of course the Pharisees hated him. Of course they did. Of course they tried to kill him. Of course they put him to death. He called them out. He said for what they really were. Listen, don't you hate hypocrisy? What's that big thing? You know, we gotta ask them, hey, why don't you come to church? Oh, I go with all them hypocrites and stuff again. I thought it was a little bit weird. Everyone I know was a hypocrite to one degree or another, including yours truly. True story. And hypocrites in a church is like, what would you do? Would you criticize a sick person for being in a hospital too? What's up with that? But when people are hypocrites and they don't get cured and they're okay and secure in churches, now that's a problem. That's a problem. I'll give you that. You're right about that. I've seen hypocrisy in church. It's ugly. I've seen it in my life. It's way ugly. I know I'm supposed to be a certain way. I'm not always that way. That's ugly. I'm working on it. Holy Spirit of God is bringing things to, I don't even share them here this morning, some of the things he's bringing things to light in my life that I want you this way, I don't want you this way. And I'm like, I'm on it. game on again. Oh, Lord, I want to be the person you want me to be. I want to represent. Well, what are you talking about represent? Oh, we'll get there. I want you to give them a if they're hypocrites, what is it I want to give to you that you can brag about? Non-hypocrisy. I want to be the real deal. Paul's saying to the Corinthians, listen, here's your boast in us. Here's what you can be proud of. We're the real deal. We're not just surface Christian. We're actual Christians. We have letters of commendation from the high priest and Jews. We're from the Sanhedrin. That Paul is a heretic. What's that all about? We don't care about that stuff. Listen, you know what you can know about us? We're authentic. Listen, now 2,000 years forward, Adam, Calvary Chapel, Kennebec Valley. Hey, I want you to be able to make this boast. Say, really? You really want to talk like that? Yeah, I do. I really want you to be able to make this boast about me. What? PhD, Harvard, doctorate in theology? That's not true. I've memorized the Bible in the original languages. That's not very true. I don't care about you being able to make that boast. I want you to be able to make this boast. He's authentic. What you see is what you get. You know what? I'll tell you something about Adam. Not the best teacher in the world. Not the sharpest knife in the drawer. Not the best anything. He's authentic. If we can say that, we're saying quite a bit. I want you to at least be able to make that boast. I think that's all Paul's saying. And listen, that's all I want to say. I am a high school graduate. Bible college, I think it's a great idea. I'm kind of busy right now. I got two full-time jobs. I'd love to be a Bible college graduate. It doesn't seem to work out for me right now. You know, any guys that are on LinkedIn? No one, just me? I have to for professional reasons, okay? I never check it. And they keep emailing me, you forgot your education part. I always leave that piece out. Nokomis Regional High School graduated. With honors, graduated, okay? And some technical college, like you, right? We got the technical college thing down. That's awesome. Wow, people, I think, whoa, Ivy League technical school. You guys are awesome. And I always leave that piece undone because it's not really impressive. And if I'm trying to impress anyone, it's not. How I want to impress anyone with my resume, with my education. I want to impress them with my reality, with my sincerity. I think you want to shoot for that too. I think it's what, listen, honesty in church, this is who I am, warts and all. Don't try to project somebody you're not. Just try to be, and we can live with that. We can deal with that. Now, that doesn't mean I'm a horrible, wicked, depraved person. That's who I am, and that's who God made. No, stop that. As we're going to learn, that's not what this is, where this is going. That's not what this is about. For whether we be besides ourselves, it is to God, or whether we are sober, it's for your cause. Beside ourselves means crazy. It's kind of the idea of, you know, two split personality. We're beside ourselves. We're crazy for Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. No apologies. L.A. Marzulli said that Ron was a cartoon character. Oh, comic book character, he said. I'm like, that's accurate. Don't try to fix him. I like him broken like that. He's crazy. That man's insane. But he loves Jesus, and I love Ron. He's not here. I can talk him up a little bit. Oh, he's a comic book character. He's all of that. He's the people who are running this church. It's the inmates who are running the asylum. There's not a normal one in the bunch. You say, oh, you think you're the epitome of normalcy? No, I'm probably the worst of them all, but I'm used to my weird, so it kind of seems normal to me. I love Jesus. That ain't quite normal. I live my life like Jesus, one, matters. He lives, and what he wants to about my life, it matters. It makes a difference. And that's how I set my whole compass. That's what my whole life revolves around. So my whole life, that's kind of a little bit on the weird side, isn't it? Some carpenter 2,000 years ago lived and died, and that's how you live your life? Yeah. That's a little crazy. Hey, normal's overrated anyway, and God wants us to be crazy about him. I am. No, there's no question. If we're beside ourselves, it is to God. God wants you to be a fool for him? I think so sometimes. He calls you on to be just ridiculed and ridiculous. I mean, we're the guys. Elliot was saying last week, we guys believe in floating axe heads and seas that part where you walk on, across them on dry land. We believe in talking donkeys and fiat creation. A God said, light be, and it was. Right? It gets stranger than that. Yeah, a little bit crazy, a little bit on a weird side. You said, Adam, you don't believe that? I believe every word of it. Absolutely, every word of it, unapologetically. Crazy for God, crazy about the Lord Jesus Christ. But whether we be sober-minded, you know, the idea of serious, that's for your cause. I mean, we want to sober doesn't, King James doesn't mean without alcohol, although it does mean without alcohol. It means clear-minded, serious. We want to be sober towards you. We want to seriously share the gospel, teach the Bible. So there's like crazy this way in the vertical, and in the horizontal, we want to be kind of sober-minded. We don't want to come across as crazy to everybody. And I don't think that really advances the cause of Jesus Christ. You know, put your crazy away a little bit and share the gospel with people. Seriously is kind of the idea. For the love of Christ constrains us, compels us is the idea. What do you mean? Listen, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Is it all, we don't want you to go to hell? Well, yeah. But beyond all that, there's a positive side of the message. Love of Christ constrains us. We figured something out, and I don't think everyone's figured it out, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Jesus died for everyone. What does that mean? It means everyone was dead, among other things. The penalty, the wages of sin is death, okay? That's the first thing we learn in the Bible practically. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, by the way, is the only commandment, way before the Decalogue, way before the thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house and all this stuff. Way, way before that, way before Sinai, God said, here's a tree, don't eat it. You eat it, you're going to die. What is he establishing right at the beginning? The wages of sin is death. You remember after they ate, what happened? He covered them with a coat of skins. Why? Did he create that coat of skins? No. He borrowed it from an animal. You think he sheared a sheep and knitted wool sweater? Here you go, guys. You know. No, he took an animal and he killed it. He took the skin off it and he said, here, clothing. And he fashioned clothing for them. What's he establishing? The wages of sin is death. It's always been, it's a universal principle. Why did Jesus die for us? Why didn't he just get slapped around and roughed up for us? Why didn't he just get imprisoned for us? Why didn't he just get, you know, beat up really bad for us? The wages of sin, your sin, is death. Why? Because all were dead. All were in that death mode. We're all sinners. We're all dead in trespasses and sins. The Bible tells us that. I think it's the most easily verifiable fact in the whole Bible. Well, I'm not a sinner. Stop that. Really? It's the most easily verifiable fact in the whole Bible. You watch the news? Or like me, have you looked in the mirror? Listen, before you stand an idiot, a selfish jerk. Do I know that? Oh yeah, I know that. I'm not going to die that way. I'm not as jerky and selfish as I once was. I'm kind of growing out of my selfishness and my jerkiness, and I'm getting more and more sanctified, more and more filled by the Spirit, and more I resemble the Jesus Christ. But I remember when somebody shared the gospel with me. I don't know what it is with people. I share the fact, and it's a fact. You're a sinner. They're like, oh, I'm not a sinner. And I'm like, really? Because when somebody came and they shared the gospel with me, I said, you know, you're a sinner. I'm like, yeah. Yeah. Anyone else say the wages of sin is death? I'm like, yeah, that's probably true. That's probably the way it is. I bought in. I mean, you don't have to come. I'm not asking you to come up and tell me all your sins. I ain't going to do anything with them anyway. But when you go to sleep at night, you know who you are. Hey, we know this. Jesus died for all because all were dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. This is what I was trying to say earlier. Yeah, a stupid jerk I am, but not always. It's different now. Why? Because he died for me. And I'm not living unto myself. The end game is what I can get, what pleases me, what I want. No, I live for Jesus Christ. Why? Because he purchased something when he died for me. He purchased me. But unto him which died for them, and he rose again. I'm living unto him which died for them, which died for me and rose again. Galatians 2:20. You can go there if you want. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's not about me anymore. It's not about what I can get. It's not about who I can be. It's not about what my. It's about living for Jesus. Crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. That presupposes resurrection, and we'll talk about that if I ever get there. Presupposes resurrection. I'm living for what? The one who died for me, the one who gave his life for me. Now, some of you, if you're outside of Christ, you say, I don't think I could ever do that. You can, and I'll show you how. But that was my first big problem, first big hurdle with the gospel. Yes, I'm a sinner. Yes, I know I'm going to hell. But I can't change that. I tried so hard to change it. I try to live for the Lord. Listen, we call that religion, and we hate religion here. We hate religion. I'm going to do my I hate religion dance right now. You don't want to see it. You'll have to gouge your eyes out later. Look, I hate religion. Hate religion, hate religion, hate religion, hate religion. Why? Because it tells a person wrongfully, you can turn over a new leaf. You can pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You can stop doing these things and start doing these things, and then you can have eternal life. It's a lie from the pit of hell. We hate religion. Why? Jesus hates religion. Okay, you got to understand that, and we'll see this here. Okay, you just stick with me. You say, I don't know about any of this. Hang on. Jesus died for all. They shouldn't live for themselves anymore, but they're going to live for the one who died and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Now, you got to understand this. It's true about you. It's true about me. It's true about everybody. Don't judge anymore because, and this is the basis for non-judgment, we don't know anyone after the flesh. We have known Christ after the flesh. Yet now, henceforth, we know him no more. Now, you ever see the bumper sticker? My boss is a Jewish carpenter. If you get that, run right out and take it off because I'm going to say something disparaging. It's true, but not anymore. He's not a Jewish carpenter anymore. He's not like how you knew him, itinerant preacher, carpenter turned missionary turned evangelist. None of that stuff is true. He's the God from heaven who put on human flesh and dwelt among us, and now he's a human, a resurrected human. He didn't stop being human. He's completely God, completely human. He sits at the right hand of the Lord. And we don't know him as like a, you know, as bearded, 6 foot, brown, hazel eyes. None of that stuff is important. None of that's not, we don't know him that way. Why? We don't even know ourselves that way. You know, one of the problems is I talk about people, and here's the thing. You think, well, I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I can be a Christian. I don't know if I could, I mean, because I got these problems with drugs, and I got this problem with lust, and I got this problem with anger, and I got this problem with, you don't know yourself after. We don't even know ourselves after the flesh. You mean, at one time, you were a sinner? Well, I got that. I know that. That doesn't mean that's who you're going to die. You're going to die that, you know, I'm a scaredy cat. When I was seven, I was afraid of my own shadow. I grew up. I stopped that. Yeah, were you that guy? You know, things go bump in the night, right? Oh, there's a boogeyman. He's going to kill me. That doesn't mean that's who I'm going to be when I die. I'm the noise checker outer in my house. How did that work out? I didn't run for the office. I got elected, right? Some goes bump in the night. Well, I just pull the covers up. Honey, go check that out, I tell her. Please. Right? No, just because you were a certain way doesn't mean you're going to be that. We don't judge ourselves after the flesh. This is big because you can't look to the past to see who you're going to be in the future. That's a non sequitur. Well, you don't understand. No, you don't understand the power of the Holy Spirit in redeeming a life. Don't tell me about your flesh. That's not the. Look what he's saying. Am I making this stuff up? We don't know any man after the flesh like we know Christ after the flesh. Yet now, henceforth, we know him no more. Why? Why? Why don't we play like that? Why don't we go like that? Verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Anyone ever hear me quote that verse before? One of my life verses, okay? I say it all the time. I memorize it. I wake up in the morning reciting it. Listen, if any man's Christ, he's a new creation. New creation, born again. It says new creature in the King James. I get it. You're a new creation. With the power to overcome sin in your life. I'm talking about Seven Oaks guys, right? You don't, how many people you know just say, okay, I'm on heroin, I'm stopping, I quit, I'm done, and no, take heroin again. Heroin's kind of tough stuff, right? By the way, them guys tell me, heroin's tough. Cigarettes will whip you, though. Cigarettes are, I'm not lying. They all tell me that. Just in case you're wondering. How many guys, is it all just self-reform? Because, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous is about like less than 10%. This was over 50%, and it's like very documented. You call these guys, no, it's not a magic pill or anything like that. You gotta live the life. You gotta do the right things. You can't make poor choices. Once you become a Christian, you can still sin. But here's what I'm trying to tell you. When you become a Christian, you ask Jesus Christ to come into your life. Well, guess what happens? He does. You're a new creation. You aren't the same old person. Don't look in the mirror and say, I know that guy. You don't. He comes in, everything's changed. Everything's new. Isn't that what the verse says? If any of you in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. Old things, well, they passed away. All things have become new. This is not religion. This is not self-reform. I thought that. I was looking at this, I was looking at my friend who was telling me, you know, he tithes, he goes to Bible study, he prays out loud, in public, he loves Jesus. I can't do that. And he's like, you absolutely are right. You positively cannot do that. You ask Jesus in your heart, the Holy Spirit comes and he fills you and he gives you the power and the desire. Everything's different. Everything's different. If I ever said one thing, if you ever just listen to one thing, I said, listen to this, it's so important. Everything's different. You have a new eternal address. You have a new destiny. I was on my way to hell, and if truth be told, enjoying the ride. Jesus came in and changed only everything. He made me a son of God. You say, well, we're all sons and daughters of God. No contraire, mon frère. No. We're all creations of God. By new birth in Christ, we become children of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be made the sons of God in Christ. Outside of Jesus Christ, you're a creation of God. You're made in the image of God. That's respectable. That's a good thing. But you're no child of God just by virtue of your birth. And this book says it only 100 different places. I don't hear, you know, I was this, I was a prostitute, and I was an alcoholic, and I was, who cares? You know, by the way, let me think about it. We all have the same testimony. I was a selfish jerk going to hell. That's your testimony, that's mine. Jesus came in, everything's different. Hallelujah, praise his holy name. Now there's details. The details are a little different. I'll admit that, okay? I tell the details. I tell people, I was in the Marine Corps, and then all the guys in the Marine Corps, they shut up, Semper Fi guy, and they'll listen, and they'll tune in, stuff like this. And that's good, that's fine. The details are fine. You can share them. We got the same testimony. I was going to hell. Jesus came in. He rescued me. He changed me forever. And he came in and he gave me the power to overcome sin in my life. It's not self-reform. It's not religion. If any man in Christ is a new creation, old things, well, they're passed away. Why are we talking about them? In one sense, you say, well, you're a sinner saved by grace. I know what you're saying. I agree with that. I've said that about myself. I don't live there. They'll stay there. Yeah, that's true. It's true in the history, but all things have passed away. All things become new. I'm not like overcome by sin right now. I'm living for the Lord. The Spirit of God is living in my life, and he's given me power to overcome sin. It's not just better choices that I've made. It's not that. If you think it is, you're going to be struggling with this forever. You're going to be keep trying like a self-effort to overcome. If any man be in Christ, just listen to what the Bible's telling you. New creation. Old things passed away. All things have become new. You know, it's like, it's almost like being born again. As a matter of fact, it is being born again. It's new. It's totally new. Let's keep moving. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. We were dead. We were dead. Now we're reconciled. What do you mean? We're on the same page. We're friends. Me and God. Oh, yeah. I was at enmity with him. I was an enemy. I was a rebel. I didn't care what he thought. I didn't care what he said. I didn't care what his word said. I didn't care anything about him. Now I live only to please him. What happened? New creation happened. I've been reconciled to God. He's reconciled us to himself. How do you do that? By Jesus Christ. How else did he do that? No other way I know. That's why it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. You don't have Christ, you're in a terrifying position. We're reconciled to God by Jesus Christ. And oh, this is, you want to sit down. Oh, you're sitting down. You should hold on to your hat. You're not doing that. This is, and he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. Oh, I thought I'd get an amen there. We're not an amen church. I know. Listen, he's given us ministry. You say you? No, us. What ministry? Reconciliation. Tell everybody else. Say, that terrifies me. No, it used to terrify you. You're a new creation now. Nothing terrifies you. Awesome. Look, I understand. It's easier for me to do what I'm doing than talk one-on-one with somebody. Say, not really. Yeah. I'm like everybody else. You sit here and you'll listen to me well enough. People generally don't throw things. Generally. And then if you don't like what I'm saying, you'll get up and walk out. If I'm talking to you person to person, there's that rejection, fear of rejection. Just like you get it, I get it too. It's easier right here, like, you know, talk very nondescript. I'm not talking to individual, pointing out, calling out people or anything like this. But that's one of the things I was telling you about, the Spirit of God working on my life. He's saying, that's not enough, Adam. Because I think, like sometimes, like you probably think, well, they know who I am. They know what I stand for. They can come see me anytime they want. Is that what the Great Commission says? They know who I am. They can come see me anytime I want. No, go into all the world. Tell them. Well, I'm doing that in part now. He wants me to do it more on a personal basis, one-on-one. And that's the Holy Spirit of God's been working in my life. I'm changing too, like everybody else. I'm growing. The Spirit of God tells me things that he don't like that quite please him. And I want to please him, so we got to go. We got to keep moving here. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, looks like this, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. What does our ministry of reconciliation looks like? Well, he's going to describe it. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Not imputing the, not counting, it's an accountant term. It's in accounts receivable column or you know, accounts, you know, the debit or the credit or the, no, it's God didn't credit us sin. Well, you've committed a lot of sin. I've committed a lot of sin. I know. And Jesus paid for them and he's given us, he's debited us, he's credited us, I should say, Jesus' righteousness and payment for our sins. That's how that thing works. Well, we got a lot of catching up to. We got to make up all the things that I've done wrong. No. Well, I got a lot of time in purgatory. Don't make me come down there. Don't belittle the blood of Jesus Christ. Listen, we don't have any catching up to do. We don't have any making up to do. I've got to repent for my sins. I got to pay back. No, Jesus paid the penalty for all your sins. That's the ministry of reconciliation that he's given to us. Don't ad lib here. Get it right. This is critical. This is your ministry, right? This is a go out there to that mission field out there. Get this right. Don't freelance. Don't change the message. Jesus paid the penalty for all our sins. And my friend telling me the wages of sin is death. I'm like, yeah. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Gospel clearly given. What happened? I got saved. I got gloriously saved, redeemed, going to hell, now going to heaven. Everything changed. New creation, everything. Ministry of reconciliation, everything changed. I got it. The word of God, administered by a servant of God, and the Spirit of God gets in there and starts moving stuff around. What happened? I figured it out. Wait a second. I'm a sinner. I'm going to hell. That's correct. And the free gift. Now wait, let me get this right. Gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So yeah, I said, now let me get this straight. He takes my sin and he gives me his righteousness. Yeah, exactly. Where do I sign up? Hey, no takes, he's back. Once I do this, it's a slam, door slams behind me. I ain't going back, you know, and he's nope, this is the way. This is the way it really works. Truth given, Spirit of God in the truth equals salvation. Listen, you know enough already to be saved. If you come here this morning, you're not saved. By the way, you're very welcome here. Thanks for coming. Really appreciate that. A lot of choices you could make today, and you're here. Thank you. If you go out, that's on, and you say, I don't want Jesus, I don't want righteousness, I don't want eternal life, I don't want reconciliation, I want to be at war with God. Hey, that's on you. I'm not being arrogant. I mean, I'm really, really not. I say that with a broken heart, but that's really on you. It was on me. I just said, that's a good deal. I'm going to show you this good deal if I get to it. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Does this make a difference? Oh, everything. It makes all the difference. I tell you, these are my life verses. I'm an ambassador. I'm representing. The work I do at work, the type of husband I am, the type of dad I am, the type of pastor I am, the type of human being I am, what I give financially, how I act, what I laugh at, what movies I go to see, what movies I refrain from seeing, what I do, all the things, everything, it's because of this. I'm representing. That's the whole, oh my goodness, this is, again, not self-effort, but choices, to be sure. I don't want to stumble you. I don't want you to go off into a Christless eternity because I'm an idiot. I'm representing. And when you're ambassador, don't do me a favor. Don't freelance. Represent well. I wouldn't be an ambassador for America in 2015. I can't always represent well. I couldn't. I would be at odds with some of the things I see. They're trying to be accomplished worldwide and stuff. I don't think the best interests of the United States are always the best interests. You say, what are you, some sort of treasonous? Well, it's a three-hour conversation for another time, but I'll say this. I want to represent Jesus Christ well. His aim, his goals, they're my goals. The way he wants things done, the way he, yeah. And don't freelance here. Don't change the gospel. Don't soften it. Don't weaken it. Don't listen. For you who are born again, right here, right now, let me tell you, this is how it rolls out. This is how it really works. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and you, five gospels, and the first four most people will never read. And if you're going to reach this world for Jesus Christ, it's going to be through you. It's going to be through me. I don't know. I don't act all dramatic and stuff, but I don't think I can oversell that point. That's how God has planned it to work. That's how the whole thing of redemption rolls out. He uses others to tell the gospel to others, to tell the gospel to others, to tell the gospel to others. And he will empower you. You don't have to figure this stuff all out. He's given you the ministry of reconciliation. He will give you the words to say. He will give you the power. He will give you the... It's not religion, again. Okay. We're ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Oh, you got a message now. This is what the ambassadorship looks like. Be reconciled to God. Me and my big buddy upstairs, we're okay. No, that's not true. That's not true. Outside of Christ, you still are in your sins. Be reconciled to God. He's done everything to secure your salvation. What do you have to do? Listen, he's provided the Savior. All you have to do is provide the sinner. And from where I'm sitting, that's already happened. In my own life, that's already happened. He's done everything. What do you add to the salvation? Nothing. He's given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. What do we bring? Nothing. Here, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm willing to be saved. That's the whole message. Please don't change that. Don't try to get people to reform, become Christians degree at a time. Don't do that. I know people do that. Well, he's praying a lot more. He never used to pray before. Well, we got him to stop drinking. Well, he's going to hell sober. Don't get people. Reform isn't what we're after. We're after born again. We're after transformation. We're after new creation. We're not trying to get you to change a few habits, bad habits in your life. No, that's much too low. Yeah, stop drinking. Don't swear so much. You're doing great. God's going to think you're awesome. No. Be born again. Ask Jesus into your life. That's the ministry of reconciliation. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. He's done it all. We got to finish off here. How does this work? I'm glad you asked. Is this another one of my life verses? Anyone ever heard me say verse 21? For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Did anyone ever hear me say that? Maybe once, maybe passing. You know, I say it all the time. He hath made him, this him, Crosswell, emblematic of Jesus Christ. He, God, hath made Jesus to be sin for us. What does that look like? I have no earthly idea. I know it's true. The Bible teaches it. He became sin for us. Why? That we might be made, and might be doesn't mean might be like, oh, maybe, maybe not. That we would become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. This is what I'm saying. This divine, I provided a sinner. I gave him all my sin. He became sin for me. What happened in this divine exchange? He gave me all his righteousness. Praise his holy name. When I stand before God, he's going to say, oh, Jesus, what are you lining up for judgment for? I'm going to say, oh, it's me, Adam. Oh, I always get you too confused. You're saying, that's ridiculous. It's not. It's the Bible. It's the word of God. He hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we would become the righteousness, the very righteousness of God in Christ. How are you going to get better than the righteousness of God in Christ? How are you going to build on that, improve on that? No. We don't build on it. We don't improve on it. We accept it humbly, and we become new creations. Then, represent well. He'll give you the power of his Spirit to overcome any sin in your life. He does that. It's not self-reform. Have I said that yet today? Anyone have me said that today? I'm trying to get a point across, because I know some people are not here. Well, he's trying to make us all holier people. I'm not. I'm trying to make you dead people live in Christ. Give him all your sin. He paid the penalty for it. He will give you his righteousness. That's what the verse says. And you're on our team. Born again, ambassador, committed to you the ministry of reconciliation. This changes literally everything eternally. Please stand, we'll pray, and Ricky will come and send us out of here in song. I've gone over a couple minutes. I'm very sorry. Father, I hope I've represented well here this morning. I hope I've got the message of reconciliation across. If I've done anything, Lord, and I'm praying, Spirit of God, move among us today and change hearts. For those who aren't saved, Lord, show them. There's no downside to salvation in Jesus Christ. You provide everything. And Lord, for those of us who are saved, challenge us. We want to represent well. We want to be the people you've claimed. We don't want to know ourselves after the flesh anymore. That's not the way that you operate. It's not the what you've called us to be. History is way overrated, Lord. And help us to be in Christ. We are new creations. Help us to live that out, to act like everything's changed, Lord. All things become new. We thank and praise you for these great truths. Help us to appropriate them in our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.